Even though we are here to worship him in heaven above, we worship in spirit and in truth. And in our worship, we gain understanding, wisdom. We gain the sense of offering ourselves to God. We're so thankful for these men who've led us and for you participating this morning in our singing, in our prayer, in participating in the Lord's Supper, and in giving of our free will gift to God. At this hour, as we study God's holy and divine word, consider that these men and women of the Old Testament served God. And we learn from their example, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. We can gain insight into our own social problems and economic problems and political climate and family issues because we serve God in our generation, and we must understand and serve him according to our own lives. We're not here to live the lives that have already passed on. The Bible is relevant to you and I today. But we must study to find that relevancy. Where are we in the Bible times? We're in the Old Testament period. We're in the period of Israel's history before the captivity. We're in a time when Israel was a babe or in its infancy, when God was building it up as a nation. After the law of Moses, after the written record that the people would follow, there began this time period where you had essentially three leaders. You had a king, you had a priest of the tribe of Levi, and you had a prophet, God's messengers or seers. So let's begin in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I apologize for that to my brother. One in chapter 20. That's okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. It's important to know the setting of scriptures because then we can understand the history. If I told you I'm going to Fort Worth or I'm going to Las Vegas, they have two different histories, amen. By location, you think certain things. So when we think about the Bible and where we are in this history, these kings who served and obeyed the will of God were honored, and those who disobeyed found themselves under the eye of the prophets. Jehoshaphat in history is kind of one of those who is a lot like a Peter of the Old Testament. At times he accomplished great things. At other times he failed, he discouraged, he made the people to disregard God or rebel against him. He's a lot like us. We're devoted in heart and we have the right intentions, but sometimes Satan is able to misdirect us. You have every intention of reading your Bible, studying, of praying, of attending worship, of being faithful in your family, and something gets in the way. So we can relate to kings like Jehoshaphat. We can relate to him because he saw this false teacher, Ahab, a false king, a worshiper of Baal, and he saw his own nation. And in that discourse, he had fear. So the first idea this morning is being immobilized. Immobilized. So think about that. Immobilization is really what we call a person in straitjackets. You can't move. You can think, you can function, but you can't move. And that's where Jehoshaphat was with this enemy, Ahab, and all of those who worshiped the idol god Baal. These were evil people. They were violent. They would dehumanize their enemy. They would burn them alive. They would do all kinds of dark and ugly things because they thought by that they were pleasing this evil god Baal, who would give them the privilege of whatever they wanted. It's not like, unlike today in religion, when men seek to please whatever is right in their own eyes. It's written about in the end of the book of Judges. And we have that today. Those who are so stuck, they're so frozen in their religion that they really don't know where to turn. So Jehoshaphat did what most people do. He said, you know what? I'm just going to cut out the middleman. I'm going to stay where I'm just safe, right? I'm not going to attack, and I'm not going to rebel against them. I'm going to stay right in the middle, and I'm going to tell Ahab, look, we'll be here. We'll be peaceful with you. We won't do anything to disrupt what you're doing. And so he formed an alliance. But what happened with that? What happens when we get next to the devil? There's going to be problems, aren't there? There are going to be issues that come up when we are in distress that relationship is not going to help us with. And then we're going to find ourselves stuck. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and thou hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now, Jehu, the prophet, is saying this about Jehoshaphat. He says, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I think your motives may have been right. Maybe you were sincere in going to Ahab. Maybe we're not just going along to get along. Maybe you really wanted to try and influence him. Brethren, we face that. On our jobs, in school, where do we draw the line between standing on what the Bible says, book, chapter, and verse, and where do we draw the line in trying to build relationships and go along and get along so that we don't cause problems at work, so that we still have relationships and people that we can rely on? We know it's difficult in our world because the only day we come together as brothers and sisters is usually the first day of the week. But what about the other 6 days? Who's on your job that you can talk to about your spiritual well-being? Who's at your school that you can talk to about your faith in a personal way? It either is antagonistic, right? I'm trying to convert them, or they're trying to attack me or convert me. It's not a mutual relationship. But here Jehu saw something in the heart of Jehoshaphat, and I want you to get this for yourselves, for all of us this morning. God does see our intention. He also sees the spiritual laws as well as man's laws. Jehoshaphat broke God's law in making alliances with a people who were not worshipers of God, who rebelled openly, who killed the prophets, who attacked God's people. He broke the spiritual law because he tried to have spiritual oneness with a person who had no interest and following after God. We're subject to both, brethren. You can be a good citizen in our country. You can be a good neighbor. You can be a good worker, good co-worker. But if you're breaking the spiritual laws of God, God's not pleased with that. That's where we feel stuck. We feel stuck because we want to convey to people and to God, I'm a Christian, and we want it to mean something. Today, it doesn't mean the same thing as it once did. Because everyone can call themselves a Christian, amen. But yet the Bible still defines it as those who have obeyed the gospel by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 still is true. We have Jesus in us by faith. The Holy Spirit by faith. Our relationship with the Father by faith. That means I am going to have to come out of my shell. I can't stay frozen. And so the prophet goes on, verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem. He went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord, the God of their fathers. Beersheba is a city about 15 miles from Jerusalem. So they were still in the south. They were still a kingdom following after God. When it says that Jehoshaphat burned the groves, this was the place where the people under his influence had began to worship idols. They worshiped idols. They formed idols. And Jehoshaphat said, you know, that's enough. We're going to burn it all. Here's my next idea. Brethren, we must be inspired. If we're going to come out of our shell and not be a people who are frozen by fear and immobilized, we're going to have to burn the groves. And for some of us, that's going to be painful. I can imagine that these groves were prosperous. These groves provided fruit. It provided for the needs of the nation. And yet, Jehoshaphat saw that this is destroying us from within. What is in your life that you need to burn up? Because it's not helping you spiritually. It's not helping you get closer to God. It's not building your influence with your other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not helping you reach out to anyone to have a Bible study or to influence them for good. It is destroying the good intention in your heart over bad. So we can't do something bad for the right reasons, amen? Jehoshaphat learned that. Let's drop down toward the end of the chapter. It says in verse 10, what cause soever shall come to you for of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, Ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. So wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. Here's what Jehoshaphat did. He got the leaders who were wise. He got the strongest and most faithful of the Levites, and he says, you're going to judge, and you're going to rule. Now, note what he says. Let's break it down, verse 10. He says, first, all of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgment. He says, whether it's tradition, whether it's the civil laws, but more importantly, God's laws, you are going to judge those things, and you're going to judge them fairly. Brethren, it takes the inspiration of the Bible to change the hearts of men. To have true fairness, to have true equality, to have true justice, we must be the ones who can say, this is right, that's not right. You know, I can't go into my workplace right now and pray because someone's going to be offended. Believe it or not, that happened. I was leading a prayer at UPS every morning, and one person got offended and they cut it out. Even though 20 other people joined me in it, it was not a prayer to say everyone here is going to hell. Amen. It was a prayer to say, let's keep us safe on this dangerous job. Give us strength to provide for our families. Let us be at peace. Let's work together. Let's accomplish this. Let's do our work as if it is to God. Let it be honorable. Now, who would complain about a prayer like that? Somebody would. There's always going to be someone that does not like the good that you're trying to do. They just want some chaos. They just want some bad. Sister Terry, you might want to help her go to the back and get some water. Let's pause for just a minute and go to God in a word of prayer. God, our Father, you are the God of wisdom, of mercy, and compassion. We pray for our sister Shirley. We pray, Lord, that her physical condition will be alleviated. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters here with medical training that can see to her and strengthen her at this time. We know, Father, that as we face things spiritually, physically, emotionally, it affects us. We're affected when we see those that we love hurting. We're affected when we see the pain and the suffering in our world, even when it is generic and overriding. The darkness, the evil, the violence of our world can seem like such a huge problem. But we can learn from the lesson of Jehoshaphat to be as one standing, that we don't let the things around us influence us in a way that takes away our goodness. We don't let the things around us take away the positive, the light, the love, the things that build up beauty and kindness in our world, especially in our homes, especially in the places where we have influence. God, you are our inspiration. We know, Father, because you've written that you provide for all of our needs. You are the one who heals all of our hurts. You take away our fears. We're so thankful we can trust in you. We're so thankful, Father, that this place is a safe place. It's a place, Father, where we can pour out our hearts to you. We can be with those of like-minded and precious faith. We can find a strength here that we can find nowhere else. Father, help us not to be immobilized. Help us not to let fear strangle us or trap us in the condition of our lives. Father, help us to break through those things. Give us the courage, Lord, to change. Even if that means destroying those things that we value, if they're hindering us, if they're a stumbling block to others, if there's something that is causing us spiritual distress, give us the courage to take those things out of the way, to put them away permanently. We're inspired by Jesus. who gave up heaven, who gave up every possession, who gave up all power to come to this earth and serve, to show us the example of being industrious. Father, we know that there's a great work before us. And we lift up our eyes to you, not knowing the outcome. We lift up our eyes to you because we know that you're in control. This world, Father, our lives have no roadmap. There's no course with which we can know what's going to happen on any given day, certainly not tomorrow. But we know, Father, if we put our trust in you, that you've shown us a pattern that you keep your promises. That, Father, you protect your people with compassion, with fortitude, with vision, with understanding. You know the course of our lives. You know the course of the lives of our children, of our parents, of our siblings. You know the course of the lives of every human being. But we're so thankful that we can come to you out of our love. That, Father, we're not controlled by you, but we are here to bow down and give you control of our lives because we love you, because you are the God of our future, you're the God of our present, you're the God of our past. And as we learn and understand through these great lessons from the Old Testament, how the people served good kings and how they suffered when they served evil ones, we too, Father, must make a decision in our generation that we can stand up and be a people who obey that which is spiritual as well as legal. That we don't allow the temper, the swaying of social norms and culture in our society to influence us to change, but that we stand firm like a tree planted by the waters. We shall not be moved because we stand on the solid ground, the firm foundation of the gospel, of the sacrifice of Jesus that sustains us in a way that nothing else can. So that we can stand against culture, we can stand against social ills, we can stand against politics, we can stand against inequality, we can stand against poverty, we can stand against illness, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional. Because the Bible helps us, it sustains us in accordance with your will. And so we ask, Father, that your will be done, that it be done not only in this place, but throughout this world, that the influence of the light of people of God continues to shine bright, that we will not be defeated or discouraged by setbacks, or when Satan allows for tragedy, or the influence of an evil or a decadent or a dark thought for a time, because we know the things in this life are temporary. We know, Father, that we're working toward a future home with thee. We're very honest, Lord, that sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes we do grow weary in well-doing, and our hearts are heavy because it seems so impossible to change even a little. But we know, Father, if we trust you, if we obey you, change is always possible. Even though it may be difficult, even though the road may be long, we know, Father, you are God, you are light to our path. And so we ask, Father, for your help. We ask, Father, for your strength. We lift up our eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from thee. Forgive us, Father. We know that there are times when we fall short of these things. And even as this moment, as we're about to offer the Lord's invitation, we pray, Father, that there'll be one whose heart is penitent, whose heart is open, who is ready and willing to turn their lives over to thee, but not only just to thee, but to themselves. We know, Father, when we come to know you, we come to know who we are. We come to know our purpose. And so we ask, Lord, that just one might be willing to repent right where they are, just one might be willing to obey this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. This morning and at this time, we do offer the invitation of our Lord. As any time and every time, God is with us. Amen. We're reminded constantly in so many ways how fragile this life is. We're reminded that our days are numbered. But at this moment, at this time, while we still have the opportunity, let us repent. If it's something that is only between you and the Lord, you can repent of it right where you are. You can make it right with him. If you need prayer, you need strength, you can come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you're ready to be baptized, put on the Lord in baptism. Please come as we stand, as we sing. He was